Hello, and welcome to the Radio Free Cybertron Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen fan commentary with JD Church, Amanda Church, XV, and me, Brian Kilby. With all that being said, if you found this on a website other than Radio Free Cybertron, which is at tfradio.net, we happen to be Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, the original going back to 1999. If you've never listened, check us out, tfradio.net. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary. Lots of good stuff. So go there, check that out while you listen. This fan commentary is intended to go along with the DVD and Blu-ray releases of Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen. The commentary will begin at time index 00 on the black screen immediately preceding the DreamWorks logo. So please go get yourself a drink, something to eat, maybe some popcorn or some Raisinets. I'm fond of Raisinets. Pause the screen on the black screen before you see DreamWorks. Time index 00. Okay, now that the video is queued, ensure that you're comfortable, that you have something to eat and drink, and go ahead and press play now. Hey, there's the moon.
So, welcome to everyone listening. This would be the commentary track, the Radio Free Cybertron commentary track.
We've already done the introduction, JD.
You got to do it with it.
He's always a little slow on the uptake.
No,
don't mind him. He's just a little slow.
Oh no! Here comes the comments.
We're done.
We're done. This movie's over. We've ruined it forever.
Yeah. No, I don't think we had to do anything really.
For fans, you guys are really like,
we're haters,
crapping all over this.
But we're not fans of
this. We're crapping all over it because we're fans.
No, we actually love it.
We care that much.
To all the teenage kids on our Facebook page who love Revenge of the Fallen, this is actually the best movie ever. And we hope that you sit all the way through this commentary track. Oh, Peter Cullen's talking.
Oh.
Silence.
This is probably like 30 days worth of filming to get this scene right here.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Bay is known for these historical scenes that he does with
epic
Bad Boys 2.
Yeah. Although I will say for both of these films, I do like that there is a little bit of setup.
Yeah. You know,
there is a little bit of context given before you sort of get into the meat.
Yeah, you got to set the stage. You got to
Ease it in, you know.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure about us not realizing that there was a large machine inside one of the pyramids, but you know.
You would think that somebody would have noticed that over the course of, you know, some time.
Oh, bad teeth.
Yeah, bad teeth.
Yeah, I mean, they've only been, you know, studying the pyramids but again, that's not an uncommon film.
Yeah, but that's second in comparison to the bad oral hygiene we just witnessed. Kids, brush your teeth. This is why.
Well, Speaking of bad teeth.
Yeah. At least they have teeth.
What is with the primes and the frills? I don't understand that. That seemed to be a common...
Are they busting right now like one of those Chinese knockoff manufacturing facilities?
They're going after the miniature masterpiece prime people.
Yeah, project people.
No, this is Japan, though.
Now, this is Shanghai.
Was that unintentionally auto troop, or I'm assuming
I'm sure
it was
unintentional.
Okay. Although, if it was, that would be awesome.
So I'm not even going to ask what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've not bothered researching anything before the movie, so I'm watching this cold.
Well, I am too, but...
By the way, there is a figure of that ice cream truck that converts into the twins.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Says suck my popsicle.
These would be the reasons that Amanda loves this film.
Hey, he swears he married a 13-year-old boy.
Nickster married a 13-year-old boy.
Hey, that was me. Well, sort of.
Well, that was... Well, not exactly.
On the next parody, it will be.
Probably.
Shameless plug.
Now, what does NEST stand for again? Remind me.
I don't know.
Beats me.
NEST.
I don't think they explain what NEST stands for in the movie.
It's probably in a deleted scene.
The National Extra...
Terrestrial.
Spatial Terrestrial Hunting... I don't... It doesn't... Okay.
So why don't the helicopters transform? That would be awesome.
It would be... You would think that they would have...
All the vehicles should transform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you think they have a little too much on the... overall, trying to keep track of characters in this film?
Nope, they don't even bother keeping track of the characters in the film.
So they're just where they need to be for the story. Need an Ironhide over here, so there he is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's so cool. I really dug him from the first film. Yeah, because the big guns. You gotta like big guns. Big Boom is good.
Oh, never mind. I like his cat nose. It's cute.
Why can we see his breath?
It's because it's China and it's cold.
Maybe it's his exhaust.
Does China get cold?
Yes. The Himalayas.
Is it China or Japan? I thought we were in Japan.
No, it's Shanghai, China.
It's Shanghai, and maybe it's his exhaust.
Could be.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it is probably the Hasbro factory. All right.
That is the weirdest explosion sound effect.
Now, is this Scavenger? No, it was...
isn't this one Demolisher?
Demolisher. Now, did they bother explaining why Demolisher and this is Demolisher from the first and second? I don't know. I mean, I realize he was misnamed, but are they just ignoring that?
See, in the trailer, I kept thinking this was Thrust from Beast Machines.
See, now that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have actually probably made
sense. And
he could
have flipped off Prime.
Yeah. And that they would have just blatantly did it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Are they one spark or are they triplets? They're three different women? I don't...
They're violent as hell, though.
Well, all of the Autobots are. It's kind of... It's a little disconcerting.
Vic Crowley would be shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I think he burned his mouth.
And isn't that the only time you see Sideways transform?
Yeah.
No, he was in... Well, he's in robot mode later in the film, but as far as transforming, I guess, maybe, yeah.
He's in the film later?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't remember
him. I'm sorry. I thought you said Sideswipe. Sideways. No, this is the first time. Yeah, that's the only time you see him transform because he dies...
Right about here.
Right about this point.
There we go.
Yes. There you go. Bye-bye. Thank you for playing.
Yeah, you're pretty good. Okay. Nobody's going to notice that.
No.
Nah. No, that was just a toxic spill. No problem.
Yeah, that's
what should have transformed.
This is the best part of the movie right here. It's the only scene that I liked. And it's only in a stupid, gushing kind of way.
Yeah. You know, because he's sort of sailing through the air. It's kind of cool. Especially with the smoke trails.
Yeah.
And the Autobot parachutes. Come on. And do you realize this is the first time that we see Optimus go from robot mode to vehicle? In the first film, he never went from robot mode to truck on screen.
Huh. Never noticed that.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just a weather balloon. It's not really a...
Falcon's on there.
Swamp gas. It's...
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the part that really concerns me, is Optimus is just, like, shooting this dude in the head.
Hey, you do what you gotta do.
And even when the guy's, like, fully down and they could just, like, take him back and tie him up and, like, do the Autobot thing where it's, like, you know, freedom is the right of all sentient beings except for Decepticons who get shot in the head.
Well, he's perfectly free to be shot in the head.
And it's the right of anybody who doesn't mess with them. You mess with them, you die.
But they were just sitting there. They weren't even hurting anybody.
They were thinking about it.
They're Decepticons, you know.
I guess so. It's kind of...
I'm sorry. I love Mojo. I love him. It's kind of sad.
And who's his friend? Did they name that dog? Oh, come on.
You gotta admit, she's hilarious, though.
Oh, she's funny. They're definitely some of the highlights of the film. I don't think they were as well written for this film as they were for the first, but...
They're a lot more exaggerated for the second movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it was some of the subtlety that made it really funny in the first film.
Well, you have two very talented actors in the roles who did probably quite a bit of ad-libbing and on the spot in the first one that was so good it made it into the film. What happened is then they tried to write in some of that fun little banter and it doesn't work written the way that it works off the cuff.
Plus, compared to how things are in this movie, everything was more subtle in the first one. They just turned the volume up on this, basically.
Yeah. I don't think the hairstylist did as good a job on Shia in this film as the other. I don't know, I just thought that. I know that's a major point of contention for a lot of fans, is Shia's hair, but, you know.
Wow, that's an odd observation, dear.
Well, I...
Yes.
Okay, the dog's name is Frank.
Hilarious to me.
Okay.
Hilarious to me. Love it. Even funnier, it's when it's one of the little robots humping somebody. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
Well, you'll get your chance. And now,
gratuitous.
This is the shot that Megan claimed she didn't realize was being filmed. She didn't realize she was being filmed from that angle, supposedly.
Yeah, well, that's actually the best scene in the movie. I forgot.
Yeah,
give me your face.
Highlight. That's the highlight of Megan Fox's acting in the film, I would say, right?
Hey, when you're in an action film, your job is to show up, look hot, and run. Mission accomplished.
That's about all she can do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've not seen her in anything else, so I can't say.
Well, her recent movie was a flop.
It has cult classic written all over it, though.
Yeah, that's going to be on AMC all the time.
It probably will.
Probably will, actually.
They'll run Streetcar, Name Desire, then
Everboard.
Getting back to the commentary, though, what are the odds that a piece of the Allspark are going to be left in his shirt? I mean, just take a wild guess. I don't know.
Infinitesimal.
Especially if he wasn't wearing the shirt that day.
Well, I mean, it does happen to be the one that he was wearing at the end of the first film.
Has he not washed it since then?
I'm guessing. I guess not.
Well, it's like a memento of the day.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where the Allspark sort of becomes more like the classic Creation Matrix, because it sort of merges itself with Sam, much like in the comic. What was the Wood Wiki from the comic? Not Spike.
Buster.
But, Buster, thank you. I always forget his name. Buster. So it merges more with Sam like it did with Buster when Optimus sort of handed it up. Why?
Did we get a TV transformer? Like a Jektor.
There's a garbage disposal.
Yeah. You know, this is the other thing that concerns me, though. For the Transformers being, you know, Transformers and one of their tricks being subtlety. The Autobots are not very good at subtlety. Because when there's a bunch of ground-like Transformers running around, we're going to see Bumblebee's response here in a minute. I just want you to note it.
I like how the Allspark gives the toasters and blenders and things these giant Gatling guns full of ammo.
Well, they did that for the Nokia phone, too. In the first...
Well, and recall the Xbox, the drink machine, I mean...
Oh, dispenser, yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see the Autobots version of subtlety. blow the house up.
And poor Dad, his path is ruined again.
Just took out the whole side of the house. And, I mean, literally...
I mean, why is the path in the grass not so important in this film?
No clue. We're Transformers. We're subtle. You know, we blow up houses and stuff. We crash to Earth like giant comets. And then we take out toaster-sized Transformers with enormous fireballs.
I think that's my favorite Bumblebee scene from both movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's the problem with the character is still, I mean, they can't get a lot out of him without, I don't know, maybe they can. Yeah, without having him talk. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they can, but it's just, you know, when I find a piece of dangerous metal and I'm not sure what to do with it, I hand it to my girlfriend.
Your idiot
and
girlfriend.
Tell her to hang on to it, you know, to keep it safe. Yep.
Yeah, I do love her.
Facepalm? Okay.
That looks exactly like my building, actually, where my refrigerator and Pepsi throwback is.
Where you hide it from yourself?
Yeah, but I don't have a giant Camaro that transforms.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. You probably
I would
just
settle for
a Camaro,
Camaro,
wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd settle for the crappy, like, 74 Camaro from the first movie. What's the point of this?
I don't know. She's trying to see.
Exactly what it looks like.
It was an opportunity to see Megan Fox's panties and have her look sort of sexy on camera because she's eye candy for the film.
Because that's all she can do.
And to all of our 14-year-old fans on Facebook who are listening to this, we're a huge fan of Megan Fox, and we know that you are too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything against her. I mean, she does what she does, you know, but...
Although I think it's kind of sweet when he cries. I did. I was like, aw. I'm sorry. I'm a girl. I can't fight all of my natural tendencies.
My wife's a girl, too, and she's like, what in the hell is this?
Not every girl can be cool, so, you know. I'm just teasing.
Wow. I mean, I guess, I don't know.
You know, when she strips down into the white dress and grabs the flowers, it was frighteningly, like, marital looking for half a second.
I thought that was the point in the trailer. Yeah. It's like, they're getting married.
It's kind of weird.
Poor Sam.
Yeah.
I couldn't put up with that mouth.
No. Yeah. It's all a question of how well it's going to age. That's all.
I don't hold out high hopes for that either.
Yeah.
Well, after this, she has the money to keep everything up.
Oh.
It's true. End up looking like Joan Rivers.
You know, this movie is missing lens flare. Star Trek had like the right mix of too much lens flare, and this could use a little bit more.
There's some lens flare right there.
There was just one right there.
Yeah, but it's not like crazy over the top like Star Trek is.
Well, you can only have lens flare in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no sound.
Dr. Claw. Okay.
There's your lens flare. In space.
Can we at least hope that it was a choice not to go with the voice modulation?
Yeah, I think it was.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to tell what he was saying, probably.
Right. From a perspective of someone who's not a fan, it would have been really jarring, I think, for those of us in the general community to try to figure out what he was saying, not expecting to hear his voice altered like that. Yeah.
I hate those two.
I kind of like them.
I kind of love them. They're fun. I mean, classic.
Of course, I probably
want
to punch somebody too if I had to form one vehicle with them.
I mean, it's a classic convention of theater and movies to have the clown comedy figure, and I think it's done well actually with those two. They don't serve a major plot purpose other than to provide some comic relief at the intense moments, which is required.
But I don't think they're funny.
Most people do, though.
Yeah.
I think the public at large does. So.
I mean, you have Asperger's XV.
Yeah.
You don't think anything's funny.
No, there's things I think are funny. Like other people's misery.
Well.
You'll always have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's my favorite part. It's the satellite tentacle rape.
When did we get into hentai here? Is this...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes.
Ooh, that's kind of horrifying. They'll never do that again. You're fired from doing that. You realize, though, at this point in the film, we're, you know, good 20 minutes in here, and we've not actually watched a section of the film and commented on it in total. We've just kind of talked over it for 20 minutes.
Welcome to a commentary track, but...
I'm just saying. Yeah. Observation.
There's your line, JD.
I'm telling you, I think that's it. I think that's a plant
for the third.
Yeah, I think that it's a good opening to... I mean, they've continually expanded the backstory where you get the idea that there's more going on behind the scenes.
More than meets the eye.
Hey, even more than meets the eye. But of course, you know, now we're introducing, as far as this scene goes, we're introducing the bureaucrat, the people that get in the way of the people that are actually trying to do the good and the work
like,
in the
world. It's like the angry principal or the dean of the college.
Yep. Yeah, it's always that douchebag in a suit that, you know, tries to get in the way of people actually trying to do work. It's a cliche, but I guess it works.
Well, as a medium, movies are all cliches. Yeah. The characters are all cookie cutters of something else. I mean, you know, this is why I don't watch romantic comedy, because it's boring. Because all the characters are the same. Same thing over and over. Much more of an action girl.
I mean, it works in the sense that I do kind of wish Optimus would just kind of grab the guy and squeeze the life out of him, but...
Well, that wouldn't play into his subtlety, dear.
What subtlety?
Now
yeah,
wait
see,
a minute.
That's what
the
I'm
subtlety
thinking.
Goes out the window in a little while.
Now, just to check, though, Optimus is sitting here questioning the civility of humanity after he just got back from a mission where he shot a defenseless Decepticon in the head.
Several times.
Yeah. This is what we're saying, right?
Okay.
You know, at the end of... Transformers 1. I was hoping we would actually get cool Transformers show up. You know. But no. We got RC. We got Mudflap and Skids.
Well, we did get Jetfire.
Well, Jetfire's already here.
There were a lot of fans that wanted... There were a lot of fans that wanted RC. I think there were a lot of people that wanted that the female Transformer. It's something that was missing from the first, so I can understand why they went that way. And Sideswipe's not bad.
And we had said, I mean, originally, I guess, in some of the concept work, RC was supposed to have been Michaela's motorcycle, but I think that would have been way too contrived to have Sam with one and her with one and them end up together. It's just, for, you know, a fantasy world, it still doesn't feel real, for whatever that's worth.
Maybe if there's an anime version of this, that could happen, but...
Yeah, it's just a little contrived. It's a little contrived for the live action.
Wasn't this the plot of one? It seemed like there was an episode that had a similar plot to this, though, where it was like the Autobots figured out if they just left, then Decepticons would leave, too.
Is it just me, or does anybody think that this dude with the tie has a whole lot of guts going up against something about six times his size the way he is?
Or he's just stupid.
Yeah, I think he's just too dumb to realize.
It's really, just pop his head like a zit.
See, it's just that he didn't see Optimus go and put holes in Demolisher's head the other day.
Yeah, yeah. If he would have seen that, then, yeah. Where are we supposed to be?
East Coast.
Kremlin?
Yeah.
Although this song rocks my socks off. Yeah.
I hate his roommate.
Yeah, he's sort of useless.
Yeah. I was kind of jonesing for him to die. I was like, come on, somebody just impale him.
Wow.
Well, I was the same way, but for Skids and Mudflap.
Right.
Well, you know, that's just because you don't like having fun.
That's true.
No, I think that's a valid point.
Pepsi ad to your left. Start pointing out marketing.
Who has a college room command center like on their first day of college? I don't know.
You know, I would answer that question with another question. Who has grown men in a Transformers podcast? And you know what I mean? You know, everybody's got their niche. Just leave them alone.
All right.
I'm not dogging you. I'm just pointing out everybody's got their thing.
It's more impressive they got the Mountain Dew machine in there on the first day.
See, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Although, if I'd had a Mountain Dew machine in my dorm room, life would have been, I think, a lot better.
So, do they have it like on where it doesn't cost anything, or are they using it like as a bank?
I wondered that.
It's a good question. These are the important questions of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. This is RFC digging to the meat of the issue.
But there's not much meat in this movie.
No. Hey, it's the Ravenous Rabbit. That's pretty cool.
They really have a bike security chained to a bed frame behind him.
Hmm.
Weird.
So is this basically what Michael Bay's impression of what a college dorm room looks like?
Certainly.
Yeah, because it's enormous is what it is. I've been in college dorm rooms and they're nowhere near that big.
Closets?
Yeah, basically. Dark.
Well, it depends. I had a large college dorm room big enough for you know, both beds, two dressers, two desks, a couch, TV, fridge, small fridge, not regular fridge, but
don't they call that an apartment?
Yeah,
a studio apartment.
Most of them are like a solitary cell, though.
Well, like one of the places that I went to school in Virginia had suites where they had four rooms that would share a bathroom, so you got bigger rooms that way.
So now, here we go. What woman of her age group would not realize these were marijuana brownies?
My mother.
I don't care. I'm willing to expand my suspension of disbelief just because I thought this was funny.
My mother doesn't even know what pot is, so there you go. I mean,
I take the stand as far as anyone that was alive during the 60s that they either smoked marijuana or they're denying it. Okay, here we go. It's pretender time, kids. I just want to say that the intricate plans of the Decepticons are mind-boggling. They would be able to plant one of their own.
And see, what I want to know is, if they can do that, why don't they have more of them?
Oh, I know. They should have them everywhere. I mean, that's a neat
trick.
That'd
be a very handy infiltration tool.
Yeah, they should be, like, in the government and...
Mm-hmm. I mean, even G.I. Joe got that part right.
Yeah.
We should do a commentary track for G.I. Joe when the DVD comes out.
Just be screaming for an hour and a half.
Oh, geez.
We can do that.
And I don't know anybody when they're high that acts like that. That's more, I don't know, drunk?
Yeah, that is more drunk than high.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could go either way.
I guess so.
Just depends on...
Hey, look, Soundwave's giving birth.
Hmm. There he is. You know, take an awesome...
He looks a little vicious, though, with the teeth.
Mm-hmm. And the one eye.
The toy is much friendlier looking.
Well, that's because it's plastic.
The Robot Heroes?
No, the Deluxe.
Oh.
Nothing is nearly as horrifying in plastic as it is in, you know, stainless steel.
And then he vomits into the ventilation.
It's a hairball.
Oh, jeez.
I hate this movie so much.
I mean, I'm not, you know, and like I said, I like the film enough, but I'm not saying that everything makes sense, you know.
Well, just so you guys know, though, that, you know, the average non-fan watching it didn't really pick up on some of the things that you guys picked up on, because you said vomit, and I went, oh, yeah, it kind of does look like that, but it didn't really look like that to me when I saw it in the theater.
You know, if we didn't have the preconception of what Transformers should be, we wouldn't hate this as much as we do.
That's a lot of it.
Because this is kind of like a more somewhat realistic interpretation of what Transformers would be like. Because we certainly can't have the G1 cartoon, because the Remeda designs would look stupid walking around. It'd be like giant shoeboxes taped to each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
You gotta go where the technology takes you, and I think they've done a good job of engineering Transformers for the live action film that feel authentic and organic to where we are in the world.
Except for that one. I don't understand the flatformer.
I was gonna say, that's what I don't understand with this scene. Why is it two dimensional?
Yeah, it's just not really I don't know.
Well, it's not necessarily two dimensional.
It's pretty two-dimensional.
But, I mean, you got to look at what it's made out of. Its constituent parts were limited. So this is just a more, you know, efficient design.
Talk about shooting from the hip. Sorry. It was a horrible pun, but I just, you know, I went with it.
Wow.
It's true.
He looks more like a tiger. Is that what he's supposed to be now instead of a jaguar?
Maybe.
He's made of metal. It's hard to tell.
Lots of people thinner than I am.
Lots of people thinner probably than the average college student.
Yeah, this college campus does not serve burgers and fries. They have like sushi cafeterias.
I like to go for sushi.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good.
Smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon sushi?
Yes.
You don't eat your sushi raw?
I do, but the smoked salmon is good.
Man, I don't know that I would want to eat sushi. Eat salmon that wasn't raw.
I wouldn't want to eat fully cooked, but
like that is the saddest looking cake.
Well, it looks a lot cooler with the cyberglyphics over it.
Yeah, but considering like how fancy this party is and how swanky this university is,
okay,
that is like a Walmart cake.
Well, he is right now the average trans fan at this point at the party.
Wait, does anybody else think he looks like a cat hacking up a hairball?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking. Something about that repeated jerking of the head forward, I just expected him to, you know, hack something up.
If he had a neck beard and about 200 pounds on him, he could be the average trans fan. Of course, I mean, he would be on the one side of the room and she would be on the other side of the room and they wouldn't talk to each other.
No, he would just like glance at her and then like break eye contact awkwardly. Yeah.
Or would stare.
Yeah, or would just stare. It's one of the two. There's no in between.
Right. More product placement.
Using WebEx to communicate. That's interesting. I would just be using Google Talk or Skype.
Yeah.
Skype.
Did you notice the Pepsi, the old-fashioned Pepsi sign behind her in the shop?
I didn't.
No, I missed that one.
Wow.
But my subconscious picked it up, and now I want some Pepsi.
See, that's what it's all about, man. Sell the Pepsi, sell the toys, sell the hookers. I'm just kidding.
That's what they get boxes there for, right?
Exactly.
There isn't a tighter shirt. That's a great line.
That's a kid's like shrunken in the dryer.
I guess they didn't have to be as delicate with the car in this film because they talked about how hands off they had to be with the car, and now they've actually got production models.
Yeah.
Although, and I will say that the film does really make me even more than I would normally want to go out and buy a Camaro.
I do love the new Camaro, but I love the new Challenger more. The Dodge Challenger is, as Hooper X said, it's sex on wheels.
Yeah, I want a Volkswagen Squareback.
You want what?
A Volkswagen Squareback.
Okay.
Oh. I would get a Challenger and paint it like the General Lee and call it done. Because that's just too awesome.
And my wife is from Kentucky. Okay.
It's Dukes of Hazzard, dude. Not like you didn't see it.
Everybody saw it.
Thank you. Yeah. Boss Hog next to me here.
I need to dress in white all the time.
Yeah, beat her up. God.
Dude, did he just bomb on her? Is that the equivalent of bombing on her?
What about Bukkake?
And what, like she couldn't figure out that, I don't know, I guess she was trying to play off that she knew he was a Transformer?
Yeah, well, and you know, the wet naps help.
Right, you know, wet naps.
Kept saying I have wet naps, like that's going to clean up, you know, anything.
So you're going to the cemetery to visit, you know, your family's grave, and then there's a giant Transformer there, you know.
Well, I think the larger question here is, why is a kid from California going to a cemetery on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps the question we should ask is, why does Optimus Prime stand in the middle of a cemetery?
As quickly as he demolished the backyard of Sam's house, I would think that people would be a little upset with him in a cemetery.
Yeah. Or someone might, you know, notice him standing there.
Yeah.
Going back to the question about the East Coast school, it's not like he's a Harvard kid. Or it's not like he's an athlete. Or, I mean, even like a good student. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Wilkes Community. He's like community college fodder, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, because he had to even fight for like the B or the A minus or whatever in the first film.
Well, that's because he was like trying to make money off his presentation.
But that's what I'm saying. Like they had his dad had to like bribe him to get him to get A's. So that's why we're saying he's not like he's.
He doesn't have a history of being a good student.
Exactly.
I'm not saying he's Ivy League. There are more colleges on the East Coast than just Ivy League schools.
Well, maybe Mikhail was holding out on him until he picked his grades up.
Although we'll comment, again, a prop to Michael Bay that I think he did a better job of framing the shots on this film than on the first. Holy crap. but as far as being
I like that.
That's cool.
I want one of those hood ornaments.
I wonder what it would cost to get one of those made.
Hey, what if you look on eBay? You can probably find one already made.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he framed the shots a lot better as far as when he had a Transformer in frame than in the first.
Well, we talked about it when we went to see it the first time. I think he fixed one problem he had in the first film, which was the shot selection and how big the Transformers were going to appear in the shot on the screen. The problem I think he gave himself in the second film was the number of Transformers. Because as a casual viewer, you know, I was confused by Double on the Constructicons and Devastator, I understood. But then you have all these characters that you don't have a name for. Where in the first film, I think the casual viewer can invest in the characters that are introduced as Autobots. That's kind of missing from this film. You don't invest as deeply in the characters because there are too many. You can't keep track.
Now, did I completely invent the fact that they dropped the deactivated Transformers, you know, as deep as they could in the ocean to make sure they could not reactivate?
In the first movie, yeah. The Laurentian, whatever.
Yeah. So yeah. How are these guys able to work down there in the same spot?
I think the reason they dropped Megatron there is so that they couldn't get to him, but they clearly just did.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Suspension
whatever purpose
disbelief.
They had for that has failed completely.
Yeah.
Although one theme of this movie does seem to be the humans underestimating the Decepticons over and over.
Yeah.
So that might be another symptom of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think while they were deactivated, obviously there wasn't much they could do, but yeah.
I mean, it's the assumption by the humans that dropping him to the deepest depths of the ocean would hide him from others of his kind being able to find him, because it would hide him from anyone else on Earth who was human, and it's...
Well, you know. Now they made a big deal in the first movie about extreme cold keeping Transformers inactive.
Right.
So I thought that was part of it, too. It's very cold at that depth.
Not necessarily. I mean, there could be,
geothermal activity.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is this supposed to have the tie-in? Does this tie into the comic book?
Dude, I didn't read it. I don't know.
I didn't either, but I thought there was supposed to be some tie-in in this section.
I'm a terrible Transformers fan.
I know, we're horrible, we don't read anything.
I don't like the movie universe. But I also don't read anything either.
It's a goo baby.
That is just so creepy. And not in the way it's supposed to be.
Now, are we on Cybertron, or is this where we're supposed
to be? No, this is the Nemesis, I think. Crashed on one of Saturn's moons.
The Dark Side.
Okay. All right, and it's Candyman. I mean, it's the Fallen.
It's Tony Todd.
I do like that...
and he even kind of looks like Tony Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like that Megatron's voice is much more intelligible in this movie.
Oh, yeah. That was a big problem I had in the first movie. I could barely tell what anybody was saying.
Yeah. Elrond does a much better voice this time around.
Yeah.
Well, but I think he accomplished what he's supposed to accomplish.
I don't think the voices play as much either.
Or but at all, in some cases.
Yeah.
Megatron's voice in the first accomplished exactly what it was supposed to accomplish in the first, which was to be frightening. It didn't really matter what he was saying. Yeah.
Well, and there was also some fake Cybertronian thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to real Cybertronian?
Yeah.
Yep, I
he
walked into that.
He majored in Cybertronian.
Well, guess a couple more Transformers movies, and I'm sure somebody will make a complete Cybertronian language like they did with Klingon.
Yeah. Hey, that Starscream looks like that. It turns into a terrible toy. I hate this.
It's really an odd... I don't know. How all of these girls in the front row are like all enamored by him, I don't understand.
They want grade.
I guess so.
No, there's this weird thing that some women do in college where they have a professor that they... It's kind of like a geeky but interesting and mysterious, and they think it's cool.
You mean they want grades?
Yeah.
I don't think the grades are as important as the after hours extra credit.
Wow. I should have kept studying physics.
I eventually want to finish my degree in physics.
There's no way that would be on the first day.
Relativity?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
No, not on 101.
No,
dude.
Well...
Dude, okay. No.
He is...
You start with... Do you know what you start with day one physics?
D equals RT.
Vectors. Vectors is your first day.
So this is what it sounds like when I talk music to you, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I met that guy at BotCon.
See, why the seizures are a nice touch there.
I mean, props to Shia, because it's very hard as an actor to have something like that thrown at you and to pull it off in a way that looks real. And that does feel very, very real and very organic for the character. It's very easy to turn that into a cartoon or joke.
Nice. Music.
Paid for by music.
I think Wheelie is an interesting character, though. It was kind of fun.
Like, I kept wanting him to get stepped on.
A little bit.
And I love that he beeps when he backs up. It cracks me up.
I think what's really artfully done about Wheelie is that he is completely different from the G1 iteration in every single way, except for the fact that he is horribly annoying.
Some rhyming might have been nice.
It's amazing to me. It's like they could make a completely different character, give him the same name, have completely different characteristics, and yet still really annoying. This was one of the first shots that ended up being leaked out.
Mm-hmm.
Was the filming of this scene.
Yeah, everyone was excited, I'm certain.
It was a little... Yeah, there was talk about, ooh, he's seeing symbols. What does that mean? Does he have the Matrix in his head? And it was, and again, that's where all the comic discussion, I think, started.
Seeing Wheelie like this and having recently been to the store and seen the toy, I think the toy's kind of a disappointment, though.
I do like that Wheelie changes sides. He makes the conscious decision not to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Even though he is kind of a jerk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not evil and I'm a jerk.
Yeah. I mean, that's two different...
I idle at jerk.
Yeah, that is true.
So as we're nearing the 1 hour mark of the film, what's happened?
somebody got shot in the head. and then we're here.
And we have the mage, and we have the last parts of the Allspark joining with
which surprisingly Sam. Never appears again.
The bit? No, it does.
Oh, she puts it in the safe, right?
Yeah, but then they take it with them.
Do they?
Yeah, just watch.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's been a while. I can't help it.
You know, and the great thing about flying on airlines right now is that they're really laxed about what you can take on. You know, if you've got a box that's jittering around, they're totally cool with you putting that on a plane.
Especially when it screams live bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, they're totally cool with that.
Yeah. Airlines love little jokes like that. Next time you're flying, just, you know, scream fire or something. Everybody will get a good laugh out of it.
So is the Corvette concept actually going to be put into production?
Oh, I hope not. That thing is ugly.
It's hideous.
I highly doubt it. Right now, Chevy's trying to save money, not spend it. So sports cars just aren't selling right now.
I really wanted to punch him in the face. Why does every dress she have look like a nightgown?
I don't know. It's sexy that way, I guess, to some people.
That's me on Stacker 3, honestly. It's not that far off.
Give me a monster and see what happens. Energy drink, whatever.
No, Monster. Monster is pretty good.
And I think what's really sad is she has a really bad tan.
She is kind of
orange. It's fake, isn't it?
It looks that way because it's really bad around her eyes. You can tell.
Very uneven on her face.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the tan. Maybe that's the makeup artist.
Is that one of the guys from Linkin Park? Is the cab driver?
Man, this gets real creepy real fast.
Yeah, it really does. Again, we have another hentai moment where...
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's a little... Yeah. That's strange.
A little?
A little bit. You know, of all the horrible things that can happen in that moment, that is like the worst thing that could happen right there.
Whoa. Oh, no, I believe dear that's the worst thing God.
I think the weirdest thing is the little bit of pink tongue still on the end of the metal when she's doing this. It just creeps me out.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Like, see, I mean, the metal mouth thing.
Player, this should be it.
The metal tongue is creepy. It's more creepy with the little pink tip.
Alrighty.
Even that part was less creepy than the tentacles.
So, anyone out there listening to this, if you actually like this scene, please, I don't know, stop listening. or shoot us an email or something.
She is really, like, when she does that full transformation, really kind of scary. I mean, she is scary. I wouldn't want to run into that in a dark alley.
Oh, get a room.
You know, that's really not the response you'd expect when the girl turns into a killer robot. You'd think there'd be a little bit more understanding at that point.
Yeah, I don't
know. Or that at least this would not be the most important thing on their minds.
And we can tell the XV is not married. And
yeah.
As you're saying that, I'm sitting here shaking my head back and forth going, you know, women, we are quick to anger. And then we don't really process all that much or all that well when we do get mad. So it doesn't really matter what the reasoning was. He's still got some work to do.
Bored. Disproportionate firepower.
Just like the blender.
Mm-hmm.
Think about having that as a girlfriend.
Actually, it's not that far off, but we're running. Here we go. The running begins.
At least they did the right thing. Did you see that Michaela had her heels in her hand?
Oh, well, there you go.
That's smart. Women are not stupid enough to run in 4-inch pumps, and she took them off, and I like that. Nice detail. Where's that tongue again? E.
Jeez. Ow.
I love the Medusa-like hair, though. That's kind of cool.
It is cool.
Okay, so.
And then we never see her again.
Yeah, and that's, I think she's
a surprisingly easy kill.
Now, this is not Blackout. This is Grindr. He's different. Even though he's pretty much exactly
the same.
That takes some strong upper body.
Yeah,
right
he's got to be working out for that to go on.
That's your job as an actor, is to spend your free time keeping your body in shape.
Well, even in for the context of the film, though, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know that, too.
You know, no one would survive this, but okay.
Well, they had airbags.
Yeah. That's not so much. Okay.
Although that was cool. And horrifying.
And now he's spitting at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he has a bad, you know, drooling problem.
Couple rotten teeth, maybe.
You know.
I had a dog like that.
Again, oral hygiene is a big issue.
Hmm.
Oh.
She screams his name a lot.
That's not a bad thing. See, I thought this was where they would mess his hand up, but...
Nope, later.
Later, when it makes less sense.
Yeah.
Well, it's entirely possible they could have filmed this before he was injured.
So, what was the extent of the injury?
Really bad. Like he is going to have very limited use out of his hand, like to the point where I think they were saying, like, if he gets back to like 70% to 80%, like that would be incredible.
And it's his left hand too, isn't it? It's not his right. It's not his dominant hand.
He can still swing a whip.
Yeah. You know, the important stuff.
All right. The indie sequel is safe.
Yay.
But he can't switch hit now, which, you know. You can always pay somebody to do that
this
for him.
This is so incredibly creepy that we were watching it in the theater and I went, oh.
Part of me is like, wow, for, you know, these Transformers are really great at human, you know, interaction as far as
probing them.
But if you think back, Soundwave did the same thing
to Chip.
So I mean, it's not that far off.
You know, Chip actually did a better job of evading the Decepticons than Sam did.
I know.
He's in a wheelchair.
And he was wheelchair bound, so.
Well, see, that's why it worked better. He had wheels.
Yeah. He could roll for it.
Oh. Oh.
Wow.
We went there.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that.
Does Scalpel show up after this, or does he? Are we assuming he gets killed here?
I don't remember him showing up again, but
I don't
maybe he was just unimportant.
Say Prime is
and
a decent shot.
That was a great shot. That you have to admit, cinematically, that was a great shot.
A bullet time's been done to death.
Yeah, it's gonna say, it's a little cliche.
You know, the Matrix did it, and that should have been the end of it.
I do like this track, though. The little Linkin Park track from the film. I actually do like it.
It fits the scene.
Yeah. This is where I think the cinematography really shined as far as getting the framing right.
This is their trailer shot.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and that's why I mean, though, it worked. I think they did. This is where you go, okay, we're in a better place.
You can definitely, you get a clearer view of what is happening.
It's easier to follow the action in this sequence than anywhere else in this movie, and especially the first one.
Yeah.
Well, the first one, it's hard for, as Michael Bay, to judge what size you're dealing with, because you're shooting the shots without the actual, you know, CG
right
in there, and so it's hard to know how close you're going to be, how far away you're going to be, how much of the frame is going to be taken up. And so that's where I think, you know, he really did a good job adjusting on the second one.
But yeah, this fight, it's a great scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's intense, it's, you know, it's tough, it's it hits the right notes. Some decent banter, you know.
Is that
nice
blood?
Shot there. It was oil.
No, it was fuel.
Yeah.
Transmission fluid.
Yeah. And teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
Prime just goes berserk.
He didn't say he'd win.
Yep.
Although I like Grinder's rotor flying off by itself there.
Yeah.
Well, there's some really good looking shrapnel flying, and, you know, it's just really well thought out.
Come on, say it. Say it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Oh.
That's kind of...
Yeah. That's... you can't fix that.
And JD looks at me in the theater and goes, no. And I went, seriously, you didn't think they were going to do it? I mean, come on. Kill Megs in the first, kill Prime in the second. Everybody get together to fight the higher power in the third. This is the way it works.
I mean, I do have to admit that I was a little surprised when Prime died, and I really don't know why I was, because it's...
I wasn't at all.
He dies all the time, but...
I mean, really, you all just reboot him, right? You just clear, shock him back, right? I mean, that's the way it's done.
Right.
Oh, it is kind of. I mean, it really is sad. I mean, as someone outside the fandom watching, the first movie really established a connection between the viewer and the Autobots. You really learned who these characters were. You invested in them. You know, and so when that happened, there was a tinge of sadness, I think, even for people outside the fandom, because you'd come to love him as the leader. through his development in the first film. Now you little fanboys can crap all over that statement.
I'm just crying. I'll be back in a second.
You know, I remember in the theater after he died, Optimus turned gray and crumbled to dust.
That was the other one.
Just no, it wasn't.
That's awesome.
And he smacks him with it. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
So did they intentionally design them with, like, the in mind that Pat Lee would be drawing them later? Because his legs are incredibly out of proportion.
They're really big.
Well, I think when they decided to make him a tank in the tank, though, form, then it's has to be bigger. I mean, Michael Bay even said that in the first one, that he wanted it to be practical. Each part of the actual vehicle had to have a place on the robot. So that being said, where else are you going to put the treads for the tank?
Where Hasbro puts them on the back.
Yeah. Hang them off the arms.
Hang them off the arms. Put them on the back.
Or the magical Optimus trailer that just disappears.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Get that out of here.
Yeah, and New Yorkers really wouldn't notice because they don't really stop for anything. Unless you're a tourist in a New Yorker's way, you don't get noticed.
Wow.
This is what I mean by a few too many robots.
See, at this point, I was hoping that the movie... Oh, God, that's creepy.
See, now that should have been another one of the Pretenders.
Yeah. But at this point, I was hoping that the movie was about three quarters over.
That's
and it's
awesome.
And it's not even half.
Fabulous.
No. No, we are not even at 50%.
But I don't think you noticed it in the theater. I mean, I would really kind of...
I did.
It. Yeah, I noticed, too, when it just kept not ending.
We're not getting anywhere. I mean, I will say that the middle is a little rough. And then the end is... But once you do sort of get toward...
Oh, that poor aircraft carrier.
Climax, yeah. Which one is this one? Do they,
I don't know.
They
John F. Kennedy, I think.
Is it the JFK?
I think it says JFK on it. If I remember from the trailer, I think it said JFK.
Can't poor JFK get a break?
But that could be because there was another film that sank an aircraft carrier around the same time, and the trailer was running at the same time. It could have been that JFK.
I think you're thinking of 2012.
Oh, yeah. The
oh, that was terrible.
Movie.
Yep.
But, you know, JD, we all know that the Earth is going to end in the year 2012 due to the Mayan calendar.
Well, of course. I mean, who are you going to trust? Like modern scientists, astrophysicists, meteorologists, or people that lived thousands of years ago?
Whose calendar just happens to end. Not permanently end, but just end.
That, right.
Restart.
Yes, it's the calendar. It's the Mayan calendar version of December 31st.
It's like the end of the alphabet. You can start singing the alphabet again.
Right.
Sorry.
Start over. It's easy. Anyway.
Ah, Decepticons. Ah.
IE robot.
Brains.
Decepting you in case we need you later. Okay.
So Transformers 3 is going to be the zombie movie.
Oh, excellent.
No. They got to cash in on the big thing right now. It's got to be vampires.
Yeah.
Transformers, Twilight.
Vampires versus zombies?
With pirates.
Oh, can we please have Transformers versus Twilight and have somebody just tear apart the stupid Twilight movie? Sorry, anybody out there who likes it? Not a big fan of chick flicks.
That is the highest resolution TV that I've ever saw. Wow. I wish my TV looked that good.
Actually, ours does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, shut up.
Yeah. It's only 1080i.
My TV is 480i. And 21 inches of awesome.
Oh. Nest team.
Nest. I'm trying to figure it out. They've got to have it written somewhere. They're going to have it on an emblem or something.
Well, I think they've explained it out on the toy packaging, but I just don't remember what it was.
And this is where we hit the lull in the commentary. Where are the Decepticons when he needs to get stepped on? I mean, seriously. Can you do that to his face, please?
I like the chair just out in the middle of the courtyard.
I love him. He cracks me up.
So dare we discuss it? The topic of are these characters racially motivated? Or
of course not.
So I think it's, if it is, it's completely inadvertent. It's not, I don't think it's any
hypersensitivity.
Well, yeah. And watching it, I didn't get that. They were entertaining to me from the aspect of, you know, you've been told that the Transformers have learned about culture from the web. Well, of course, there are websites and things for any number of different subdivisions within the culture, and it's just that they happen to connect to that one.
Well, they're the people who type on the internet and can't spell.
Yeah, which or have bad grammar. I can't handle the bad grammar.
They're the lolcats, basically.
Yeah, I mean, kids, if you're going to post on the internet, please spell check, grammar check, make sure that, you know, you have your whom and which in the right place. Because it's really obnoxious when you don't.
And, you know, just care.
Invest in an education. It's a good thing.
Mm. Believe it or not, Nest is never clarified as to what it stands for, apparently.
Yeah. And nobody else can agree on what it's supposed to stand for either.
Next, yeah. Energon Salvage Team. There you go. I just defined it.
Okay.
I'm sad we don't get a little more of Ratchet in this film, because I liked him from the first one. Again, the guy with the glasses. Just pop his head like a zit.
I'm sure one of Ironhide gun barrels would just slide nicely down over his head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it never occurred to me, but what's the name of the Corvette?
Sideswipe.
Sideswipe. In that shot, Sideswipe standing there in robot form looks a whole lot like Jazz looked in the last film. It's like you just take one silver car out and put the other silver car in.
Maybe that's why they killed Sideways so early.
So the important thing to do after your leader is killed is to sit in an empty lot and sulk.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody grieves differently, dear. Just
okay. I'm sorry I kissed a alien robot.
You should be.
No, that would be more like, I'm sorry I got tentacle raped by an alien robot.
Yeah.
Wait, that was almost too good, though, for the acting chops. You should be. Sorry.
I still hate that Bumblebee.
The radio talk?
Yeah.
I kind of love it. I mean, it's really... It really is endearing, I think, from outside the fandom. It kind of... It's neat. It's clever.
It's sort of like talking TV.
Yeah. Except it kind of makes Bumblebee into sort of like...
A dog?
A special ed kid. You're a dog.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, though.
But I don't think people outside the fandom feel that way. I don't feel that way. I mean, I'm generalizing everybody who's not a hardcore fan by saying that, but he doesn't come off as, you know, like, needing to get on the short bus or anything.
Speaking of short bus.
Yeah. That's what these guys should turn into.
That would be awesome.
They did for the first part.
Someone has to kit bash that into a short bus. Sand it down, whatever.
Oh, that would be excellent. So, and please send us pictures. We'll put them on the website. So,
yeah, we'll have to float that idea around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you do have both the figures.
Well, the cars. I need the ice cream truck, but I'm not very good at kit bashing. My only attempt at kit bashing was to make a black Transmetal 2 Cheetor, and it was really sticky for months.
And then they came out with Tripriticus Agent anyway.
And I cried.
I bet.
So.
Oh, I could go for a corned beef sandwich right now.
Oh man.
I could just go for a can of corned beef.
Yeah.
Cold.
A can of corned beef? Is that like the spam version of corned beef?
Yes.
I'd much rather have a...
Real deal.
Real deal. I'm slow cooked.
See, I've never had the real deal.
Oh.
You never had real corned beef?
Heck no.
You are missing out, sir. Let me tell you.
What kind of a human being are you?
Not a very good one.
I kind of love that Simmons is back. He's not as much fun in this film as he was in the first, but...
I don't know. I like him a lot better, actually, in this film. I like the sort of... without.
There were just moments, though, where it was too much.
Yeah.
It's the same problem that we discussed with the parents earlier. The witty, playful, ad-libbed banter has been attempted to be scripted. And it doesn't play the right way. It plays.
Yeah, they went too far with him.
Mm-hmm. They didn't just let the actors kind of find those moments. They tried to script them. That's always a bad idea. Got Pagels to Schmear. Love that.
I guess he's going to leave out the part about the tentacle rape.
I would, too. You got to block that stuff out.
Yeah.
I mean, and he doesn't really want, you know, to give Simmons any fuel for threatening his manhood, you know.
Besides, if scalpel poked into the wrong part of his brain, he might not even remember it anyway.
Mm. True.
Instant lobotomy right there. Mm. I love that. I love that he has that head in the glass. Great.
This is sort of a... This becomes almost an homage to...
That is a really
the Age of Steel. Thing. Yeah.
Kind of like that dorm room.
Yeah. But yeah, see, we'll start to see all of these symbols, and then there's sort of this Age of Steel reference where you see these really, really old Transformers that have been around for a while.
never realized how strangely shaped John Turturro's teeth are. I mean, he's an amazing actor. I love him. Don't get me wrong. He's just fantastic. He's
well,
got such a
range. Not everybody can have perfect teeth.
You know, but he's done so many movies. He's got a lot of money. You'd think veneers would help.
Hmm.
I'm not saying they're bad or distracting. It's just they're weird. It's like he has too many or something.
Well, that's part of his charm. He would look odd if he had perfect teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nose like that, eyes like that. You got to kind of offset it with some weird teeth.
It's nice that they've been hauling him around the trunk this whole time.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
What a deal. See, I want a toy of that one.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Of the Model T?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Make it a Voyager where you have to turn the crank to transform part of it.
Oh, cool.
That would be awesome. You might be able to kitbash that. Be hard, but, you know, somebody out there's got to have the time. Be unemployed
Whoa.
Or something.
Okay, this is
Whoa.
One of those parts I was talking about before.
Whoa!
Just wrong.
Yeah. That is a brave man, though, I will say.
Hey, you get more money for stuff like that.
Passing out the suicide pills.
Yeah. This really odd relationship that builds between those two characters.
I've been there before.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that go?
That was my first day on the job.
Which job?
Current job.
Oh. Good impression.
You have to admit, though, Simmons is pretty smooth.
Well, secret agent man, you know.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully when you get to that position, you're well trained. Didn't he have a Marines ring on in the first film?
I love that he tasers himself. That's like that's the highlight of the film for me. It's when that obnoxious little jerk tasers himself.
I've never seen anyone that's been tased react like that either. For like minutes at a time. All right, fetch. Now, they're not saying he's dead, though, right? I mean, he's just in stasis lock is where they're...
Yeah, thinking. I was going to ask. I mean, did they go into sleep mode or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm assuming this is stasis lock because...
Basically.
I mean... That would be the only thing that would explain why they didn't try to use the shard to wake up Prime, because Prime is actually, I guess, dead. Although
or
it works
closer
on...
to it.
Yeah.
I mean, as dead as a Transformer can get.
Right. Well, giving up your spark, I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty dead.
Right.
Yeah, but there again, keep bringing him back.
Well, but I'm saying at least for the context of the film.
I mean, seriously, we were talking about, you know, rebooting computers earlier. You just reboot Prime every time.
Well, not if his spark is gone. You'd have to have something bigger. Like the key to the vector energy chamber leadership matrix.
I like that. He's got to push his parts into place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Jetfire. He...
Oh, Jetfire is great.
A really great character in the film.
I want a Jetfire like that in the next show.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. This is the throughput that we should have from the movie universe into the next series.
I love that nothing's quite working on him. He's got his little cane. It's just...
And so they walk from the Air and Space Museum in Washington to Arizona.
Yeah.
You know.
It's incredible. It's amazing what you can do with technology these days.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is some of the best stuff, really.
Absolutely.
Intensely, yeah. Personal choice.
This is when I actually got interested in the movie again.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Weird guys.
Say my name. Love it.
Didn't need that either.
Nah.
Hey, doesn't that equalize, though, his... Aren't they, like, even now? They've both gotten dry-humped by robots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's symmetry now.
Yeah.
Maybe you should introduce Wheelie to the dog.
Wow.
No.
That's a mental picture. Not one I was looking for.
That's my favorite line.
Yeah, but he did so with honor.
I love that he farts a parachute. That's just hilarious to me.
I like the walking stick.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful character part of him, you know? I mean, you get the feel that it's really... part of his essence. Kind of cool.
Does it terrify anyone else that Sam just carries around an enormous knife?
It's a little crossover from Indy.
Maybe his father was a Marine and instilled the always carry a knife philosophy.
I always carry a knife.
Well, there you go.
I need to carry a knife.
That's like me. I always carry chapstick. I mean...
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing.
It's almost the same concept.
In no way.
Yeah. All right, space this bridge. Is a space bridge, yay.
Which I get the feeling we'll see again, film 3.
Yeah, hopefully it'll look better.
Well, it is Jetfire space bridge. I mean, you know, how well can it work? He just had a missile fire backwards and farted a parachute. So, hey, there's the hand.
Uh-huh.
That's hilarious.
He's old. He knows it. He's just going with it.
What if? All that he's been through, you know, what's a ding from a, you know, toy car in the face?
Yay, we didn't die.
You know, this is the point at which, from my point of view, it started to get a little contrived.
A little?
Started.
Well, I'm saying from the perspective of someone who's not as familiar with all of this as you guys are.
Yeah, I would think the familiarity would make you more forgiving of the contrivance.
Yeah.
No, I think in general it tends to make you more critical of the mistakes. You know what I mean?
It depends how you feel coming into it. it's very good that he has an extra, like, bandage or sock or something to wrap his hand with.
Yeah.
Maybe
that just happened to come through the space bridge with them.
Okay, so we've explained Energon now, so this is good.
That'll show up 3.
Well, it's already shown in this one. I mean, in a sense of saying we're building the mythos, right? I mean, mm-hmm. These are the things I'm talking about as far as, you know, these are things they don't have to add in that they're explaining and adding.
They'll have for those of us who may not be as familiar with it, they'll revisit it. Just kind of revisit the explanation when we get to the third film, because, like, sitting here watching it now, yeah, you say that and I hear it. But to make the connection for the third, I think they'll have to revisit a little bit.
Dun dun dun.
Big scary guy with a weird face.
Needs to get his shaving together.
Which is really more like the key to Vector Sigma and the key to the plasma energy chamber combined.
Yeah.
And
in
maybe
this case,
just,
it's more like the key to blow up the sun.
Yeah, but that's what I say. I mean, it has that similarity to the plasma energy chamber in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the dumbest thing in the world.
Yes.
We're going to hide the Matrix, so we're going to blow ourselves up. What? We're going to hide it, though. We can go anywhere in the universe.
But we're just going to go over here to this pile of rocks.
We're going to go
20 feet away from where the Fallen was.
So the people who were actually producing the CG, were they, like, shaking their heads as they were working?
At some point, they've got to be like, really? Really?
Or are they just happy to have a paycheck?
Probably
a little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like working at Walmart.
Oh, we've all done it. You take a job because you need a job. It's not necessarily what you want to be doing, but it's similar to what you want to be doing, and it pays.
Or it just pays, and you just say screw it to the rest of it.
Yeah. It's all about the Benjamins.
Well, not if you're working at Walmart, it's not.
Sure.
If you're working at Walmart, it's all about the quarters.
The Jacksons?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Walmart employees.
Hey, he's a former Walmart employee. He's speaking from experience.
I'm a huge fan of Walmart.
Oh, I love Walmart.
I like shopping at Walmart. I just don't always like going there.
This film is really amazing because it really demonstrates, one, how easy it is to get through airport security, and two, how easy it is to get through foreign country checkpoints.
You can just drive on through.
You know, it's really a simple matter. It's no problem. You don't need passports or...
Or local license plates.
Local license plates, documentation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple to move around the world. This is definitely sort of advertisement for world travelers. You know, please...
Call your travel agent. Book now.
Yeah. You know. I hear the Sudan is nice this time of year.
And nobody's going to notice that either.
Very inconspicuous. Nicely done.
Spider car, spider car.
I love that look. He says so much right there with just his face. It's great.
Yeah, it's too bad he doesn't have a better part to play.
I'm glad they
brought him back for this one. I hope that they'll bring him back in a larger capacity on the third. I would like to see him in a larger feature for the third.
This is like the worst code speak ever.
Mm. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, we got it. Put him on the short bus with the other two.
Yeah. He can drive the twins' short bus.
Well, he's the one who'll come with Human Alliance short bus.
Oh.
That would be awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. Well done, sir.
Well played. Well played.
And why?
Then, yeah.
I have an idea, though. I think we'll have to go to the most cliche filming place in the Middle East.
You mean the pyramids?
Oh, no. Worse than that. Oh, yeah, it's that guy we're supposed to turn over to the Decepticons.
No, I think the choice of pyramids was good just because it gives you a scale for Devastator. It gives you an idea of how large he is.
Speaking of scale.
Yeah. Kind of want some chocolate.
I do have cookie dough.
Seriously.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. It's so easy to make it through airport security and foreign checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like, the tattoo pattern on Starscream I thought was pretty cool. Oh, man.
I don't get the big arm thing.
This?
No, the one arm being bigger than the other.
Really, it is too bad Stratosphere wasn't actually in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been pretty easy.
Would have been good for the Devastator fight.
Oh, yeah, that would have been excellent. I mean, he would have died, like, instantly, but it would have been cool.
Well, yeah, you'd have the two giant robots.
I think we'll get Defensor in the next movie.
Eh.
Predaking, that would be exciting.
Hmm.
And the movie has died again.
Yeah, this scene was a little weird.
Well, the action had built to a certain point. We're learning things are happening, and now we're just sort of waiting. Yeah, we're going to wait around at the pyramids, you know, because that's what you do.
Well, but they have to wait for dawn because of the riddle.
But that's what, well, they don't have to. They wrote it that way. This is what we have to remember, right? It's not like they were forced into it, you know?
I'm just qualifying why we're waiting through the night, okay?
And I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's like we...
Aww.
Oh. So...
Look at that little bit of drool there.
It's cliche, but it's a little bit amusing.
Yeah.
That's the only time that little friendly guy doesn't annoy me. Probably because he doesn't say anything.
Is it Carlos? What is his name?
What, Leo?
Leo.
Leo. I'm sorry.
Gosh.
I was thinking...
How do you get Carlos out of that?
I was thinking Armada. It's, you know...
Oh.
It's an Armada sort of joke, but subtle.
gentle comedy.
Mm. It's my style. Oh, we gotta go. This is called Fun with a Bureaucrat.
Well, you know you were hoping for this the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this
maybe
is...
Maybe without the parachute, but whatever.
Yeah.
Right, this is the justice bit, you know.
This is one of these things is not like the other, you know. Kind of love that. That was kind of awesome.
Well, you want the thing to be on securely.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you're gonna be in a parachute, you want to make sure that thing is not gonna fall off. Don't worry, you shoot all the deploy. Just go.
See, that makes up for the last scene, doesn't it?
A little bit. Bye.
Okay, then.
See you later.
Well, now it's there, boring again.
Was there a Geico ad in the corner?
Now, to mention that this is not the same guy that was killed in the first part of the first film, I don't know if that was made clear to the general viewing public. It's his twin brother, I guess, with a different last name. Does anyone have any idea what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay, thanks.
Vaguely.
Thanks for helping me out there.
Oh, we were just going to let you keep walking.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going.
Well, it was just coming. Okay, so here we go. This is the cliche
moment of awe.
Filming location. Although I think they actually make reference to it, which is sort of funny.
You know, one thing I got to give this, they do really good compositing the robots in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ILM rocks. I mean, you know, no matter what, I mean, as far as the effects go, they're pretty solid.
Well, mm-hmm. And I think that's why that you haven't seen a live-action Transformers until now, just because now is when the technology and the expertise of the CGI mechanics are all coming together. It looks real. It looks believable.
I wish it was over.
All right, well, that's it. We can go home.
I'm impressed that he lands on his feet there.
Well, he's a robot, you know. They got gyroscopes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's cat-like speed and reflexes.
Okay, this is good.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wanting somebody to do that for over an hour.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Hey, look, fingers.
What a coincidence.
Hey, did you know there's a hand behind that wall?
Bumblebee's going to do what he does best, which is blow stuff up.
Everything can be solved with high explosives.
Yeah.
You know, America's been living by that for a few years now, so why not?
A few hundred years.
We even attacked the moon.
Yeah.
It's the philosophy our great nation was founded upon.
When in doubt, blow it
blow
up.
Blow stuff up.
What's the... this place is really beautiful. Okay, hand me the bomb.
Yeah, it's the most beautiful sight I've ever seen.
Detonator.
Fire Flea is the best episode ever.
Yeah, and then at the end, Rodimus Prime makes fun of them for losing their planet.
Well, and spoiler alert, they do bring Optimus Prime back. Sorry.
Aww.
Oh, no.
That's a shame.
Well, we're done then, I guess. It's all over.
Let's throw it in your sock.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a different sock.
Well, he's got one on his hand. He'll take the other one off for that.
Oh. Yeah, there's nothing more effective than carrying around a sock full of pixie dust.
Hey, it works for Peter Pan.
That'll surely save the day later.
He sounds like Ron Paul.
Very sound line of reasoning. The voices in my head led us here for a very good reason.
I think we should examine the first part of that sentence. But I will say, you know, I mean, we're sitting here talking about how hokey it is now. In the theater, I was totally into it. I was totally there. I was completely going for it. I was like, okay, yeah.
In the theater, I was making the same comments in my head.
Yeah. I was making them to Kim.
All right, we have to get Prime to the location, so let's dump his dead carcass out of the plane.
It'll be fine.
He's already dead. Who cares?
It's not like he's going to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, what else can happen to him? Maybe they should set him on fire while they're at it.
So we're getting ready.
That would have been awesome!
Flaming carcass of death.
Now, I think one of the things that does sort of bother me, we're at the hour 45 mark now, and we really have like a good solid 45 minutes of very intense climax to follow as we enter into this extended combat sequence of the film.
The unintelligible combat sequence.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a disappointment after the forest scene.
Well, and this combat sequence is a little muddy. You don't get the feeling that you know where it's all supposed to be leading.
Or who's involved.
Yeah. Even the book doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that could, again, be a symptom of how many robots you have, because you just can't keep track. Good old-fashioned firepower. Whoa.
And again, we've got the really weird explosion sound effects. I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah.
They're alien explosions.
Yeah, it could be G.I. Joe lasers, you know.
They're the wrong punch color.
Him. Come on, punch him. Yeah. Punch him. Hit him. Kill him.
Taser.
Thank you.
That's even better.
Me either.
Neither could we.
Yeah. We just dump him out.
And the whole world says, thank you, Simmons.
Okay, I can't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of a wasted sequence. Here. Yeah. Not accounting for the dust.
Great shot blocking. Huey and Dewey.
Love it.
I don't know. I think that's kind of insulting the DuckTales, though.
A little bit, maybe.
I don't know. I love his little pep talks to himself.
That's all so familiar.
Yeah, but where's Mission City?
Yeah. Is that R2-D2? We do seem to be at the same almost shooting location from the first film.
But you're missing some of the banter between those two guys that you had the first round, too. Because that's just the way it is.
Because he's the one you don't want to talk to.
Exactly. You know, how is it that my sister can call me at the exact wrong time? It's the same principle.
Mm. Quantum crypto gear.
What? Really?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, there's good jargon.
I guess
that
means it's both encrypted and not encrypted at the same time, depending how you look at it.
Yeah, quantum state.
It's Schrodinger's cipher.
Right. But hey, you know, again, props to for Michael Bay for pulling out some real world tech for the film. So,
actually, props for him actually getting a movie made, considering the writer's strike and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, especially within the time frame, you know.
Of and course, I guess that it might be why we have some of the problems we do with this.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, it helps that the film doesn't really have a script, so I guess that
it's more like just a series of action sequences strung together,
yeah,
with a really weak subplot strung beneath them.
Some of my movies are like that, though, but they're just—I mean, that's an art to itself.
You ever wonder why John Turturro was actually driving when the car could drive itself?
Would you let him drive you?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I wouldn't tell him no, but I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, but Simmons would.
Hmm.
Again, his voice is just so much better now.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell what he's saying. All it's a very important thing to have.
Well, and far more important in this one than the last.
Because he's actually got something to say?
He's an actual character in this film. He was your big baddie in the last.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah, I like how the Decepticons, or at least Megatron and Starscream, seem to be more, you know, characterized.
Yeah, there's an actual dynamic between them now.
They had their little moment on board the Decepticon ship or whatever that was.
Uh-oh.
Well, and you have to think, too, they really developed the Autobot characters in the first film, so you really got to know the Autobots in the first. This one, you get a good feel for the dynamic of the Decepticons and how they work as a group unit.
Or at least Megatron and Starscream.
Yeah, at least Megatron and Starscream. Yeah. Well, which are the only real major characters for the Decepticons anyway.
Yeah, the other ones are just cannon fodder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Replaceable.
Yeah.
Or, you know, sources for Prime to take faces from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Duplicatable. Yeah. Uh-oh. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Oh, wow. You did not say that.
He did.
Yep, I went there.
Now, you were saying there are duplicates, one of each vehicle, or two of each vehicle that combined to form Devastator?
Yeah, there were extra Constructicons, and the group that forms Devastator does not ever actually take a robot form independently.
Right.
Well, and that's again, where I get to the thing, I'm like, do we have too many? You know,
It's like, dude, this is awesome. This is just like when we were kids. You remember the Constructicons? It's exactly like that.
Except it's
nothing like that.
Not like that at all.
I mean, I don't know. I guess
transform phase one.
I mean, I guess it's. I mean, in essence, it's similar.
So, did these Constructicons build Megatron, and then conversely, Megatron built these Constructicons?
Oh, yeah, that's horrible. That's the only. Yeah.
I mean, really, it's your which came first, chicken or the egg?
Well, and that's, you know, that's, I mean, again, we're pointing towards, I mean, we want to talk about G1 as though it was, you know, the best thing ever, and yet
it's not. It's
exactly the same kind of logic that we got out of G1.
Yep. G1 is not necessarily the holy of holies, guys. Sorry,
oh, no.
Sorry to burst that.
G1 is often terrible, but it's the fundamental basis for these movies.
Right.
The basis. I mean, it doesn't follow them really at all, but it draws pretty much everything from them. Characters, anyway. Even the name, Witwicky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there again, I mean, these are points that they didn't have to do, and, you know, they went there anyway.
Hey, he has a sword now. He's graduated from the knife.
Actually, I think that was a kebab skewer. Mm. They are in the Middle East.
Kebabs sound awesome.
Yeah.
I could go for that.
Apparently we're hungry while we're watching this movie.
It is a popcorn flick. I mean, what are you going to do? Concession stands don't make their money during atonement, okay? You laugh, but it's true.
Hey, look, it's an Insecticon.
You were hoping
for it. It's Waspinator.
Yeah, he is about as lucky as Waspinator is. Get smashed. Bye-bye. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
So are they basically like the Borg, constantly communicating with one another?
Maybe.
Or did he just hear that?
Maybe Starscream was his mama. You know, that instinct.
Well, I mean, he did have a radar dish, you know.
It's
true. He was transmitting video.
More likely it was from Ravage than...
One of Soundwave's little helpers.
I like that thought that he's a parasite for Ravage.
Ravage had a little gas, and that's what happened.
Look awesome, quick!
And all of a sudden the girls show up.
They've been there. They were on the plane.
Were they?
They're just not doing anything.
Yeah. He is really, really big, though.
Yeah.
Like, retarded big.
I love how Jaxus, or Boltax on Allspark, has a thread going on. Can Devi eat it? Yes. That is so great.
What is it?
Just random stuff. Random challenges of what the Devastator toy can or can't eat.
Wow.
It's great.
And most of the time it succeeds.
Yes.
That's impressive.
But, he is impressive and horribly scary.
I don't know about that.
He was for me in the theater. I mean, especially with the sound and the surround and the seats vibrating and the floor shaking. It was intimidating.
You saw this in a better theater than I did.
Me too, I saw it at IMAX.
Oh.
Seriously.
One of my favorite lines in the movie coming up.
Yay!
Oh, no.
Yes, but ultimately disappointing.
Yeah.
There it is. I love that Devastator burps a little bit too. It's kind of nice.
Okay, maybe this is a good time to mention. I don't know which one is Skids and which one is Mudflap.
Mudflap is Red.
Does it matter?
I guess not.
A little bit.
I mean, really, it doesn't even matter who, like, Sideswipe and Sunstreaker are in G1.
Except that Sideswipe was around more.
True.
Yeah.
Sunstreaker had, what, 4 lines in 98 episodes?
Yeah, mostly one-liners.
His tooth fell out. I did not notice that before. But they serve their purpose, right? They provide a little bit of up in the intensity of the moment.
Rampage, spring the trap.
Spring the trap that we've had waiting around for half of the film. Just in case. Just in case we suck so bad that we weren't able to actually just capture a small human on our own.
So you capture 2 other ones.
He's wiry. That's what it is. Sam's wiry.
Yeah. Pogo bot.
Well, if he's saying anything, I can't tell that one.
Yeah, I think I got Witwicky out of that. Here, this is the sock you want.
The sock of leadership.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh. What are those things hanging off of him? I mean, is it...
His treads.
Oh, okay. I was like...
What? I mean, those would make a hellacious weapon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's props. It's cool to use that way. Oh.
He's basically Transformers Whiplash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucking included.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
That was a good sound.
Get him.
Take his face.
Yeah.
Give him your face.
You know,
this is kind of nasty.
Here comes
too.
The gross part.
Yeah.
Sort of
reminds me when I used to like do that to grasshoppers. When I was, oh, never mind.
Why was it gooey though?
That's a whole other story.
Well, no, I think you really kind of enjoy seeing Bumblebee take charge in that moment, especially for people who aren't, you know, big fans. You've grown attached to him as Sam's guardian.
You
want to
see Bumblebee actually accomplish something.
All kids want to be Bumblebee.
You know, you see him as Sam's guardian, and this is the first case where he really steps up and kind of saves his life.
Okay, like, so after seeing this movie, did the kids who want to be Bumblebee go home and pull on the cat's tails until their spine ripped out?
Ooh. Well,
here, buddy. Here, buddy, kitty.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Because, you know, to me, that was the most notable thing he accomplished in that scene.
Yeah.
But I think it was a nice coming into his own. But there again, I like the film, so what do I know?
Go with him. I'm going to go with you. Okay. No argument.
Okay, when a woman like that says that she wants to go with you, are you really going to turn her down, no matter where she wants to go?
No.
Okay. Fair enough, right?
Yeah. See,
there's some of our duplicate Constructicons.
Yeah, and that's why I say I think there are an awful lot of robots. I just
There are, and there's even Decepticons running around that don't have any apparent transformation. They're just very generic robot bodies.
Yeah, just protoform.
You know, I mean, you know, go ahead and make them more Constructicon clones. I'd prefer that to unscanned protoforms.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. You could explain that, you know.
Yeah.
But it was slightly confusing for me in first viewing, because you would see Devastator and then you would see one of the Constructicons somewhere else that you'd just seen form Devastator. So it was kind of jarring.
Yeah, I can see how that would be that way for an outside observer.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say fix the problem of scale, but kind of created a new problem with so many robots.
Well, and they were up against a budgetary, you know, they wanted to have that scale, but they couldn't afford to make new models. So it's just like we talk about Grindr, well,
looking basically identical to Blackout.
Right, but that's because they had that model and it was cheaper to just use it rather
than repaint it.
Yeah, repaint it, change the head a little bit, than it was to try and come up with a whole new character for that. And that was the compromise, I think, that Michael Bay made for this film, because they didn't have as much time on the production side and the pre-production side.
You know, I want to get one of those amphibious landing craft as a big toy.
Ooh. Didn't they? I thought they
did.
Well,
I mean, they had Cybertron short round, but...
Yeah. Wow.
That's a nice, that on the pyramid is a nice shot to give you the actual scale of that.
Oh, no, we're coming up on that part of it, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I'm talking
there.
About.
Everybody's favorite part.
It's the part I mentioned more than any other.
Yep. It was certainly the highlight for all the Transformers fans. I think, you know, for those of us who really care about this mythos and, you know, are really concerned about its treatment, that was the point where it's like, yes, now we're there.
I detect a note of sarcasm, dear. is that sarcasm I hear?
Maybe a little bit.
I'm speaking to my good ear.
Wow.
See, that's what I want.
Yeah. I just want one of those. I drive that.
The thing that can carry a tank. Make it a Duocon. The landing craft and the tank form one robot.
That would be great.
Wow, that what?
That's really, really, we've gone there. And again, the slide sequence is just so long. You almost can't.
Well, yeah, it feels like it's like half the movie.
Because it almost is. Mm-hmm. It's really more than a third of the film. Is this
or
fight
what really
sequence.
Should be taking about 15 minutes of movie time.
Yeah.
Well, I think the whole film suffers from a little bit of bloating, for lack of a better word. Feels like just about everything.
One of the things that I felt about it the whole way.
Every scene is slightly longer than it should be, and so therefore the entire film is half an hour more than it should be.
Yeah, I think it's an example of, I think editing could have really saved this film if they would have, you know, there's almost this thing like an action film has to be like, to be of any credit, has to be 2+ hours, you know, almost to the 2.5 hour mark. And really, if they would have cut even 15 to 20 minutes out of this film, it would have tightened it up so much that I think it would have felt a lot better. It would have made
moved
the pace. Yeah, it would have moved a little better.
Well, and editing would have helped a lot. I think maybe another set of eyes to help in the editing to say, do we really need this? I mean, who's to say? Maybe that was done. Maybe this is as thin as he felt he could get it.
Well, and that's why I say, though, I think for length, they're like, okay, we got 2.5 hours, we're good. And, well, you know, I think...
Right, because that really is your action movie length.
Right.
it's not like your other kinds of movies where you can get away with, I mean, even sometimes an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, well, a comedy shouldn't be any more than 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is almost stretching into the territory of a heavy war movie.
Really? Yeah, and it's not...
Saving Private Optimus?
It's not favorable for it.
No. No, and that's why I say I don't think it's done the film any favors.
You know, we could have lost about half of this sequence, and not the movie would not have lost any substance for it.
Mm-mm.
It's all just eye candy.
Absolutely.
And I think we got go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that's again where you can edit out some of those protoforms. You can edit out some of the additional robots and tighten it up by taking some of this away.
And we already got our, you know, visual treat with the fight in the forest. You know, that's where they were really showing off their stuff with the fight scenes. They're trying to do it again here, and it's just hurting things.
Yeah, there's so
what
much
What are these,
smoke.
Gundam? Wait, no, they're not.
Oh, there's the gun platform. I was so fast the first time, I didn't even see it.
Hey, look!
Awesome!
Yay!
He transformed a lot better this time.
He's limbered up.
Yeah. He's got the WD-40
and his walking stick
and
is apparently a sword.
Or it's sort of sharp in the middle. Okay, is this Scorponok, or is it supposed to be a different...
Yes.
It's Scorponok.
All right.
It's got
to
be.
Because he never saw what happened to him in the first movie.
This is the only one that sort of had an ambiguous ending and then actually came back and lasted lull of like 20 seconds.
But now you definitely know what happened to him.
Yeah.
He's dead.
He got fragged.
He got smushy.
That's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
Can Devi eat it?
There's something wrong with gravity in that sequence. I don't know. It's just...
You know what? I
oh,
still
no.
don't.
No.
Oh,
no.
Here we go.
I love to see Devastator down a fruitcake, though. I don't think it's humanly possible to actually eat one of those fruitcakes, and I don't think it's alien possible either.
Nice.
Ow.
Owned.
Reboot.
Mm.
I think he'll be okay. I think
Devi
he'll
can't eat
through.
That.
I think he's gonna make it. It's okay. You're gonna pull through, buddy.
So why didn't they have railguns in the first movie when Megatron was trashing the city?
Well, they didn't know how to fight Transformers then.
Yeah. You know, and it was in the middle of a city. They would have hit buildings and stuff.
I don't really think that was a concern, though. They were calling in an airstrike.
Well, yeah, actually, airstrikes are extremely precise.
Well, a railgun can be...
A railgun is clearly
but you have
precise.
To have line, but you have to have line of sight, remember, too.
Maybe Mission City wasn't by a coast. Was it by a coast?
Well, not that necessarily it was by a coast, but there were buildings in the way. So it would have had to fire through multiple buildings.
I kind of love that shot of Ironhide running and a little bit of fire on him. That was kind of cool.
No,
I like how
the
they're
theater,
bombing with all the soldiers still right there.
See, I was just looking at the very center of the screen, which is staying in the very center of the screen.
I'll quote my dad that, and people with military experience can correct me if I'm wrong, but...
Center of the screen.
My dad was a fire control technician in the Navy, and he would have people call in firing requests all the time. And he said those guys would be like, fire on us, we will get out of the way. So that's
center of the screen, Brian.
Yep.
Always keep her running.
And bending over.
Right.
That's fairly accurate. If you've got enemies all around you, you call the fire strike down on you and then you get out of the way.
That's a nice little slow-mo shot, though. Overhead, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Blades is so cool.
Wow, she kind of looked like a blow-up doll.
Well, that about sums fighting. It all up, doesn't it?
Oh, no. Losing the...
You got teary when that happened in the theater. He was sitting next to me, kind of...
No, your teary moment was when Ironhide was on fire, because you thought he was going to die.
Because he's cool. And no nobody likes you anyway, so...
No care for Prime, but Ironhide, you know.
Well, I knew they were going to reboot Prime. They probably won't reboot Ironhide if they kill him.
True.
They're just going to give Prime a new shell and send him back out there. Go fight again, buddy. You got it.
Hold her back.
Clear. Again with the clear. They do it to Megs.
Give him two shocks. ER, they shock people like 30 times, but Shia, two. No, he's good. He's good.
I'm tearing up right now, guys.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times they'd shock Megan before they gave up on her.
Like 80.
So they shock Megs, they shock him, they shock Prime. I mean, just get the paddles out on the film and pump out a third one. Suddenly he has visions of the Primes.
Who all look a lot alike.
Inbreeding?
That one looks a lot like the Fallen right there.
That's what I mean. They all have the weird face frillies.
They also have that weird extra thing from their torsos to their arms.
This is like a bad version, or a version, actually, rather, of Five Faces of Darkness. Like the Matrix visions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just too funny.
I just kind of had a moment where I was like, did I just step into Lord of the Rings?
It looks like a Klingon dagger, the Matrix.
A little bit.
Actually, it looks like the Romulan ship from the last Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah.
Except not as pointy.
Looks like Megatron's fingernail. What? He looks like that.
Stab the corpse.
With it.
Clear! Clear! Again.
Yeah. So, here we go. Key to Vector...
Something.
Plasma
energy.
Key to all things mythical, magical, and transport.
And just like in the first movie, the key to saving the day was to jam something into Prime's chest.
Yep. See, he's sort of on fire right there. So, I mean...
Here's the crappiest villain ever.
Yep.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Thanks. Okay, thanks.
Gotta go, bye.
Good job, Sam.
Thanks for all your hard work, kid. I'll take that.
Get up. We spent all this time.
And why is Sam looking down as he says that?
Yeah.
Even laying, shouldn't Prime's head be rather above him?
Probably.
Continuity error.
Oh, we shouldn't even get started there.
Yeah, let's not.
That's a slippery slope.
We'd be here for another couple of hours.
No,
I hope not.
We'd overrun the film.
Now, here's the better question. They pulled out the railgun to shoot Devastator. Where did it go now? Because wouldn't we be able to shoot the... Yeah, I don't know.
You'd
that
think.
Would make sense. That would make sense. Maybe it only...
Yes, but then you couldn't get this part.
I want to know how he's still going with half his chest missing.
His
he's hardcore.
Online.
Dude, yeah, He's like my granddaddy. He's like, I'm not going down. You can't make me die. Sorry.
Well, there goes the spark.
Yeah. I guess if you pull out your own spark chamber. There's jolts like 30 seconds in the film.
Oh, hey.
Well, he was there too when
that's...
all the military vehicles were surrounding the Autobots. See, yeah. Now this is the most interesting part where Optimus starts wearing Jetfire's corpse.
Yeah.
That's quite a power up there.
Yeah, well, it was Jetfire's dying wish, you know.
And you know what? It's kind of totally bad. Badass.
It's extremely cool. Toyetic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely a sell more toys moment.
It's
although,
like it's the only
say,
way they could think of to get Jetfire's pieces onto Prime.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder why PETA wasn't upset about that. I mean, you know, you wear fur, they freak out. You wear someone else's corpse, and they're fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of that.
Yeah. Well, that was tough.
Man, if we only knew we had to shoot it.
Man, Prime needs some flying lessons.
Yeah.
Get him.
Smack him.
Give him your face.
Just get out that gun and shoot him. It worked on the big one.
Why are you shooting yourself?
Oh, God. Oh, that was horrible and hilarious. Did he just bomb?
I think he coughed up blood.
Yeah.
Or oil.
Okay,
go.
Say it. Say it.
Here it comes.
Say it.
Who's your daddy? Yes.
There awesome.
Give him your face.
Oh. Bye bye.
Smash that his spark in his hand.
That was cool. Like I didn't quite catch that on the screen. That was. Bad.
And you
ass.
Thought it was vicious when he shot Demolisher through the head. He just reached in, ripped out his heart, and squeezed it.
Squished it. That's
going back to Indy again.
This even makes the G2 Prime look like
a wuss.
Yeah.
G2 Prime's a mama's boy in comparison.
Okay, now here comes the next best part. Okay, we're done with Jetfire's skin.
Right.
Just gonna chuck that off.
All right, done with that. Thanks, Jetfire.
Hey, it weighs a lot. What do you want?
But he left the boots on, so he's got these oddly disproportionately tall legs.
What's she saying? I'm distracted by her lips.
It's not important.
Let me hold myself close to your horribly mangled flesh. Make sure you cuddle up to the side that's burnt to a crisp and nothing but raw skin. That feels so good.
Hey, we didn't die.
Why couldn't he have done? Like, not Simmons, but annoying dude.
Carlos.
All pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Carlos.
No, they'll just ship Carlos off to Mars for the next movie.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Inexplicably.
Can't he be like in one of those gerbil balls and be the twins' toy? Just put him in a ball and let him roll around and entertain them?
Wow.
Can we
Well, it would have had
Michael
to be
Pitt?
Ravage's toy, and Ravage is dead now.
Yeah.
I don't know. The twins might be entertained like that. They're kind of like hamsters.
Here we go with the bookend.
Oh, that's another tie-in right there. Our past will always be remembered.
Mm.
Connection.
Yay, directed by Michael Bay.
Yay. Thanks, Michael. And two of those guys won't be back.
Well, and it was kind of nice, that last shot. The first film you saw Prime standing by the tree and the Autobots kind of rolling up behind him during the bookend.
While Sam and Mikaela were making out on top of Bumblebee.
Yeah, which was not awkward.
But, not at all.
But in this one...
Well, that's no worse than Buster and Jesse in the comics making out in the back seat while O is in the front.
Yes.
But kind of a nice parallel to that is that last shot has Prime and Sam standing there in that same kind of feeling.
Right. Yeah, I wonder why him and Mikaela weren't making out on the deck of the carrier.
He's probably too sore from being burnt to a crisp. Yeah. Don't touch me. His lip, it's kind of sloughed off onto her when it's peeling.
So,
is that too far? Was that the line? Did I cross it?
Nah, there's no line with this movie. So
the movie, he just crossed the line by being the movie.
Yeah, so what did we think overall?
You couldn't tell?
I mean, is it the best film ever made? No.
Is it the best Transformers film ever made?
No.
But it's, I think, with a decent amount of willing suspension of disbelief, it's watchable. There are certain things that are referencing existing material. And even though it's not a part of an existing Transformers mythos, it's sort of built its own. And it sort of works, at least within that construct.
Well, and I mean, from the perspective of not being a fan, it sets you up, right? The first film was huge. I really like the first film. I don't like the second as much as I like the first, but I got enough in the second to make me anxious for a third film to kind of bring everything back around and close the story, because it still feels kind of open-ended to me. And, I mean, the honesty of it is, we were talking about this the other day, the point of the films is to sell the toys. Did the film sell the toys? Yes.
Yeah, totally. This is only my second viewing of the movie. I didn't watch it again after my initial viewing. I liked it better. Did I like it? Not exactly. But I hated it a lot less.
Yeah,
you
know,
the second viewing is always good.
It's the second time I've watched it, too. And, you know, both times now, the real highlight of watching it has been the group of people I've been watching it with.
Oh, yeah.
I could take or leave the movie. It's the group experience that really makes it.
Now, originally, like I said, my favorite part of the movie was the crazy person in the theater who kept screaming every time Optimus Prime did something awesome, and he was really disappointed that Optimus Prime died. I really miss that guy. I wish he was here and like in the studio with me. That would have been great.
I could have done that for you. You should have let me know. I could have totally been there for you.
Post-production, my friend. Post-production.
Yeah.
I think that went pretty well. I hope like the two people that actually made it to the end of this enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah, made it this far.
Yeah, but
and if you fast forwarded through the middle, it's okay. It wasn't that good.
Yeah. They wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah. Really, really. But I mean, do we have any final thoughts about Transformers 2: Revenge of the Fallen?
No. I mean, I think we've said it. I mean, it's, you know, it's not the best. It's certainly not the worst. You know, as far as just general films that's out there, and there's certainly worse episodes of Transformers out there than just the film. So,
it did its job. It set you up for the third.
Yeah, XV.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you. Everyone out there who's listening, thank you for taking 2 hours, 27 minutes of your time to us. Yeah, I know. To
but
sit
you got
with
two
us.
More minutes of credits.
No. I'm getting up and walking away.
I think that's the best thing you can do.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?